Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Make it seven in a row.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Foreclosures in the U.S. are up for the seventh straight quarter. RealtyTrack reports filings were up 23% from the last quarter. Meanwhile, finance company GMAC said its first quarter loss nearly doubled as more customers fell behind on mortgage payments. Countrywide, the mortgage lender being acquired by Bank of America posted an $893 million loss for the quarter. The slowing economy is also draining battery life.
Still going. Nothing outlasts the Energizer. They keep going and going.
Energizer is actually slowing. The company, known for its namesake batteries and chic razors, posted a lower quarterly profit this morning. But big profits for big oil. Shell cashed in with a record $7.8 billion. BP is at $6.5 billion. The Dow fell 20 points to 12,871. The Nasdaq and S&P both lost a point and a half yesterday. Shares in Europe are mixed. It was a mixed day in Asia. The United Nations Security Council meets today to discuss Zimbabwe. Voters are anxious to learn whether Robert Mugabe will continue to run the country or whether the opposition candidate will take over. Gretchen Wilson reports from Johannesburg.
Analysts say a win for Mugabe would likely deepen the economic crisis. One reason? Inflation. Mugabe's government prints money at supersonic speeds, making it difficult for businesses or consumers to keep up. Cash is quickly traded for food, gasoline, or other commodities that will hold their value. Food is so scarce that one-fifth of the population relies on international food aid. And Western businesses and international lending bodies have largely pulled out of Zimbabwe under Mugabe's rule. Dale McKinley is a political analyst in Johannesburg.
So it's gone beyond crisis point. I think the question on everybody's minds is, how low can one go before this implodes and explodes?
Western countries, including Australia, Norway, and Sweden, have said they'll pony up cash to rebuild Zimbabwe's economy if the vote is deemed transparent and democratic, and if the government revamps its fiscal policies. There could be a broader fallout if Mugabe claims another victory. The opposition party and international human rights groups say post-election violence threatens to destabilize the region. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Don't be surprised if you're paying more if you drink Stella or Beck's. The brewer says today it's raising prices to offset soaring costs for malt, barley, and aluminum.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value. By Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. And by Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way.
Grand Theft Auto 4 hit store shelves at midnight. That has parent company Take-Two playing a game of hardball. Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
Stop shooting people, you maniac!
Grand Theft Auto has shot, carjacked, and stolen its way to being an $800 million franchise. And the latest version is expected to be the best-selling video game ever.
It's definitely going to break a lot of records.
Industry analyst Ben Beharin says Grand Theft could bank nearly $500 million its first week. And parent company Take-Two is counting on that. It's been holding off on a $2 billion buyout offer from rival company Electronic Arts because Take-Two says it's worth more.
If the game's going to be as popular as people say it is, definitely going to affect their stock price and their values.
But Take-Two's strategy could backfire, says Dan Ackerman, senior editor at CNET.com.
Everyone knows the game is going to be a huge hit, and a lot of people have kind of factored that into the share price already.
And Ackerman says the franchise could start running out of steam, but he's been playing an advanced copy of this game and expects it will be a big hit. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Think of how many times you go to read an article online and the next thing you know, there's an ad playing on your computer screen. Then it's that frantic search for where to click to exit out. People who want to sell us things are always thinking up new ways to get our attention. But commentator Rob Walker says now it's getting personal.
Everybody complains about advertising, but lately advertisers have actually been paying attention. Apparently, they've gotten hip to the idea that most of us say we're less influenced by ads than by our trusted friends. So the new goal is to convert our trusted friends, or at least people we know, into an advertising medium. Here's an example of what I mean. Marketers for Nip Tuck, a TV show about plastic surgeons, have created a Facebook application designed to encourage users to pit their own attractiveness against that of their friends. The idea is the application spreads from friend to friend and promotes Nip Tuck as it goes. Another gimmick for the show allows you to use audio files of Nip Tuck characters to create a custom message telling your friends what kind of plastic surgery you think they need. You then leave that message on your pal's voicemail, like so.
Robert, don't worry. We can help you. Your dreams of being hotter than the competition and looking like a rock star are just a nip and a tuck away.
Some ad guru types call this friendvertising. Maybe you wouldn't feel so friendly after getting that plastic surgery voicemail, but we all know one jerk with access to our cell phone number or Facebook profile who thinks this kind of stuff is hilarious. So maybe we should really call this new marketing form jerkvertising. But let's face it, at some point you've probably gotten an email from an actual trusted friend pointing you to a funny video or website that you just have to check out. And maybe it really is funny, but often it's also an ad for something. You and I might have mixed feelings about friendvertising or jerkvertising, but marketers love it. They can finally stop pestering us with their dubious claims and let all of our friends do it for them.
Rob Walker writes the Consumed column for the New York Times Magazine. His book, Buying In, The Secret Dialogue Between What We Buy and Who We Are, will be published in June. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.